from 1 John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 7. If you'd like to follow with me, it is on page 990. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him, purify themselves, just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. And then from Acts, the second chapter, verse 14, and then 36 through 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made Him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him.' And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who are welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added." The word of God for the people of God. I bet you didn't know that today was Native American Awareness Day, did you? It is. And we're just so excited about what this day means in the life of Native Americans. Most United Methodists are celebrating on this particular day. When we come together as one body, we can do more and be more for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. I'm going to introduce to you Carmen. And I'm so proud to have Carmen here today. I'm proud because I can call her my own because she's family. But this is family on my dad's side. But Carmen grew up in the Prospect United Methodist Church. That's in Robeson County. She graduated from UNC Greensboro in communications. She now works at the Doherty Equipment Company as a market design associate, and she does live in Greensboro. Carmen is a volunteer with the youth and the Guilford County Native American Ministries, and you saw her with her crown. She has just relinquished her crown as Miss Indian of North Carolina, and her platform was smoking within the youth. So she has really done a lot to prevent smoking in with the youth, especially the Native American youth. Carmen was the spokesperson for the Many Voices, One Message Stop Smoking Addiction program. So we are so excited to have Carmen Dees to come and speak to us for a few minutes. Carmen.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here today. There are several things that I would like to share with you today about Native Americans and spirituality. Isn't it very interesting that today in 2006 we have Native Americans dressing our traditional regalia in a United Methodist Church? Isn't that a wonderful thing? How haven't we come a very, very, very long way? First of all, Native Americans are very spiritual people by nature. I mean, that is a part of our tradition, to be spiritual people. And what I mean by spiritual people is that the beliefs that were that Native Americans had were practiced daily, seamlessly in their lives. There was no, okay, now it's time to go to church now, and I'm going to be this way, and now I'm not going to go to church, and I'm going to be this way. It was, this is the way we are, this is the way we believe, and this is what is. One of the things that throughout time was misconstrued about Native Americans was dancing. You know, all this frenetic dancing that Native Americans do, and all, isn't it, you know, a little savage-like. And two of the little boys I know that came up during the children's time, during the mini-sermon, were afraid of me, and they kind of came up by themselves, and I was told ahead of time they were afraid of the Indian person that was coming to talk with them today. Little did they know that Miss Roberta's been amongst them the whole time. And so today I want to dispel some of those myths that cause that fear, because when we have fear, then we have problems. When you are educated and you know, then you no longer have fear. There's nothing to fear. First of all, dancing was considered prayer in motion. When I say that Native Americans were spiritual people and they practiced their beliefs daily, seamlessly, that is one way that it was done, prayer in motion. If you listen to some traditional music, and I should have brought some today to use as an example, a lot of times in powwow music, I'll use that as an example because that's probably what most of you would hear, there are certain moments in the song where they have honor beats, and the drummers hit the drums really hard, like this, and you can hear it above everything else, and the dancers take notice. And some of the female dancers raise their fans up, their eagle fans or their hawk fans. I'm a traditional dancer. I bow my head in reverence. And that is what it is. You're bowing your head, or you're raising your fan in reverence, or you're doing your most fancy, your most intricate steps to please the Creator, to give honor, to remember where you've been and where you're going. And I bow my head to remember all those that come before me. Many of my regalias have roses on them and floral patterns, and that is in remembrance of my grandmother. And so I want to remember her, remember how hard people work to get to where we are, and then to also honor the Great Spirit and the Creator who allows me to get out there and dance, who gives me the strength and the ability to do things in His honor. And when I talk about feathers, there are two types of feathers I'll talk about today. One is the eagle feather, which many of you are probably very familiar with, and the other is the red-tailed hawk feather. They're both considered prayer feathers. And as I was telling during the mini-sermon, you know, eagles fly high in the sky, and they can take our prayers closer to the Great Spirit because they are closer to Him than we are. And that is one of the reasons that they're used as prayer feathers. But also, they can be used as a way of, as a truth-telling method. You know, you go into the court system today and they, you know, put your hand on the Bible. Well, traditionally, you could hold a fan or you could put your hand on a feather. And because that feather came from an animal that flew so close to the Great Spirit, and it was one of the Great Spirit's creations, one of the Creator's creations, then you were to tell the truth. You were to be honest. And then we lead to one of the next misconceptions, which is honoring the earth, not worshiping the earth. You see, the Creator created the earth. He gave us this earth, this beautiful earth that we live on, the flowers, the trees, the animals, and we are here to take care of it. We are not here to destroy it. And that is what our traditions teach us, is that we want to take care of the earth. And the Native Americans knew that there was a difference between worshiping the Creator and worshiping the Creator's creations. And we are one of the Creator's creations. We shouldn't worship each other, and we shouldn't worship the creations, other creations that He's made. There's a Sioux belief that says that we are to take care of the earth for seven generations. And that means the seven generations that came before us and the seven generations that are to come. You see, we're only here for a short amount of time. Even when you think about it, say you live 100 years old, that's not a very long time to be on this earth. And we have to honor the people that came before us, those seven generations that came before us and brought us to where we are. They've taken care of the earth. They have taken care of God's creations. and we are to take care of them too. And then we're also to take care of them to remember the seven generations that will come after us, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren that we will never see probably, and great-great-grandchildren. We are to take care of the earth for them too, because we don't own the earth. We are just simply here, on it, living here. We don't own it. And another thing, another part of taking care of the seven generations is to teach our traditions and to educate our people, not just in traditional education, but also in formal education. And the last part of that is to remind our young people and to remember for the generations that came before us to keep God at the forefront of everything you do. That is such an integral part of our culture today, and it's such an integral part of Christian people that we should remember. We don't keep God just for ourselves. We keep it for the generations that are still to come. That leads me to another thing that as I was preparing today, I was telling my parents this last night. For some reason, I was packing up my clothes because I live in Greensboro, and I was going home to spend the night last night, and I picked up my breastplate, and I said, you know, this is kind of like the code of honor that they talk about in Ephesians. And isn't it interesting that my clothes, my traditional clothes, remind us of that? We have the helmet, which is my crown today. And we have the breastplate to keep us safe in the front and in the back. Traditionally, this is something that men would have worn, but today women wear it too. And it was for protection. This is bone. And it would have been mighty hard to penetrate bone. And men wear them actually layered across this way, so it would protect all your internal organs. And then, in the back, you could also protect all your internal organs when they had to go to battle and in those type of situations. And then also it talks about the belt of truth. And I wear a belt that clings tight, and it is almost worn. One scripture says, one version of the Bible says a belt, one says almost a corset. And so this belt is tight like a corset would be. That is the point, is to hold my clothes together and hold truth and keep me to truth. And then finally, we have the shoes and our moccasins. And you'll always see on people in wearing their traditional clothes that their legs and their feet are covered. And they wear leggings or moccasins. And that holds us steady on the ground that we stand on, and we can stand firm in the Lord. One other thing that I want to talk about, you know, she mentioned the scholarships. I'm a product of one of those scholarships. When I first went off to school, I was able to apply for one of the Native American scholarships. And even though I wasn't going to the seminary, they have some for undergraduate studies as well. Native Americans have the highest high school dropout rate of any racial or ethnic group in this country. And they also have the lowest college retention rate. Now, this has a great deal to do with economics and family environment and expectations, and that's something that Indian people have to work together to bring along. Ironically, Lumbee people, which is, you know, where I'm from, Robeson County, had the highest college retention rates because we had that university at our access, UNC Pembroke. And because of that, Indian people in Robeson County learned you can go to college. It is an attainable goal. And then you can go on to other universities like I did. I tell people I'm the lone person that didn't graduate from UNCP. I'm the rebel in the crowd, or at least didn't attend at some point in my entire family, because we have learned that to grow means to educate ourselves, and we should want to educate ourselves and grow and become better people. Finally, I want to tell the story of Red Jacket. Red Jacket was Native American some 200 years ago. And missionaries, as was custom at the time, were coming to talk to him about Jesus. And they were telling him these wonderful stories about Jesus and this man who could heal the lame and make the blind see, and he was given to the poor, and, you know, just such a wonderful man. And Red Jacket looked at the missionaries and said, this Jesus man you talk of, he'd make a good Indian. And so they began to converse some more and talk about Jesus. And finally he said to them, you go, telling the missionaries, you go and you teach your people about Jesus. And then your people can come teach mine. So in other words, what he was telling them was, you know, all these things that we see are not Jesus-like. They're not Christ-like. But this Jesus is a good man. He could be an Indian. He could be one of us. But if you can get your people to learn about Jesus, then they can come and teach our people about Jesus. And I think that's just such a poignant story because it teaches that before we can go out and teach other people, we've got to make sure we're living that life that Jesus would appreciate and that shows others about Jesus. So I thank you for allowing us to come and talk about Native American spirituality in your church on Native American Awareness Sunday. It is such an honor to be able to share my culture and the spirituality. Native Americans and have been Christian for a long time now. Most Native Americans in the East are Protestant, and you know, Prospect is a huge Native American church, and we're very proud of that. And again, I thank you for allowing me to come today. Thank you.